Okay. Good afternoon from near and far. We have 30 or so people at a distance and about that many here, so we'll begin. Comments, just first welcome back to the semester. We're obviously really busy everywhere. It's wild and crazy, but that's a good thing. I just have to say again, how much I deeply appreciate all the work that all of you do. I mean, you've heard me say before that I think that what we do is important, and I really believe that. So thank you, and I look forward to a really good year. If the weather's this good, it's probably, we'll wait for winter. Hopefully it'll stay away for a long time. I want to particularly thank not only all of you, but those who are in temporary or some sort of specific time length roles. There are several people here who really stepped up to the bar and are filling in where we really needed people to for a year or two or whatever. And I want to say thank you very much specifically to all of them. Diane will say, I know people are thinking about the feasibility study and wondering what's going on with that. There is going to be some time devoted to that. And you will have a little bit of a spoiler in seeing some of the designs or some of the drawings for that. But Diane will say more about that. As you all know, I do have a new boss. We have a new provost, and Chris Manfredi is a wonderful person to work with. He's a good friend of the library, and I think we'll have a good 10 years ahead of us with him as provost. We have reason to believe that we will continue to have support for our collections budget at the provost level, and that's very good news not only for us but for the province, because we are maintaining our collections in ways that other university libraries are not able to. So we really are an important resource in terms of the province as a whole. We have entertained and we've awarded several innovation proposals, and I think you should watch for some of the exciting things that people are doing, and you'll be hearing more about those as time goes on. But pay attention to some of that, because we've got some really interesting things going on, from tables that will be used for exhibits, electronic tables are going to be really pretty cool. And we have lots of exciting things going on in the Research Commons, which the university, by the way, is recognizing already as an important university-wide resource. Before we even have it up and running and working, as I said, no stress to Sarah and her group. It's water on the sand of the Sahara. People really appreciate this. And I'd just like to remind people that we plan right now to go through a similar planning exercise in the spring in parallel fashion to what we did several years ago. We've just about done all of the things that we set out to do, and we will do another planning exercise that's very similar to what we did before from the bottom up, probably using the same technique that we did before, the same sort of brainstorming exercise that involves everybody and is put together in such a way that everybody participates and in a fairly equal way. So I look forward to that. And so with that, I'm going to turn things over to Ed, who is going to introduce our folks from ICS. Some important changes happening.
Since I'll be passing this off momentarily, I will not bother with the whole rigmarole. So I just wanted to quickly introduce Gary Wilkes, Marc-André Venn, and Brian Arso from ICS. They'll be here. They're here today to talk to us a bit about some of the changes they've been making to how they're organized and what it might mean for the library. So I'll turn this over quickly to them and let them tell us all about the work they've been doing. I'm not sure who wants to speak first.
I'll speak first. Thanks, Ed.
There you go. I'm not even going to put this in my pocket either. For those that don't know me, my name is Gary Wilkes. I'm manager of ITS Desktop Network and Desktop Services, who most of you know Charles Phelan as our LAN admin and our contact for the library. Back in February, ICS went through some reorganizational changes where we're moving towards a geographic support model rather than the current model that we had, which was very department specific or faculty specific, where only the people that were in your area would be the ones that supported the library. We're going to a more geographic model where it makes us more efficient as a team. That allows us to, as you know, library, there's, 13 libraries around campus, including Mac campus. We actually used to send technicians to Mac campus to work on computers while we had a team sitting in the next building where the library was. Just because of how our SLA chargeback model was structured, the library paid for our services and only those resources would work on library issues. With our model that we're moving towards, we're going to the geographic model, and Marc-André Venn is going to be our supervisor for the desktop technicians in the southwest quadrant, which is where we are standing now. Even though the library is located in various other quadrants around campus, Marc-André will be the prime contact for the library for IT services. Charles Phelan is going to be moving to our central LAN administration team, working for Ante Rokoff, which those of you that have been around a while remember Ante. Charles is going to work with Ante over in 688. What we're moving from is two technicians that were dedicated just to the library, no matter where the library was, and we're moving to eight technicians in this quadrant. So there's nine technicians in another quadrant, there's seven technicians in another one, so we'll be able to respond faster to those on-site type demands. All the LAN administration, AD group management, the shares where your file server, all the folders that you share, all of that administration for those types of things are going to be done centrally by Ante's team. One of the requirements to help us make this successful is, I've mentioned this to Jen already, is that there is really a need for library staff to use our contact points, because there may not always be somebody sitting out here where you can go and take them hostage. We need to use 3398, we need to use the service desk, we need to use itsupport@mcgill.ca as email. I believe there's even web forms that are pushed to everybody's desktops. They can report problems that way. But we really need to have everything funneled through one place and not dealing immediately with the individuals. Because that actually does, as some people think, it gets faster when you go right to the person, but if the person's on lunch, they're on vacation or whatever, we have a team of people that will be able to respond to that a little better. As part of the reorg, so we have a quadrant here, we have another quadrant in the northeast, which is law, education. I don't know how much is left in health sciences, life sciences. I don't know how much is still up there, but those guys are going to be taking care of those. On the northeast side, where Birch Reading Room, we got stuff over there. We got music down in the southeast. So all of those areas are going to be supported by different quadrant supervisors and the technicians that report to them. For the past several months, I don't know if you've seen other faces other than Steve and Andreas and Charles, but we've been job shadowing. We've been trying to get people, the customers, familiar with the new technicians that are in the areas, as well as the technicians familiar with the needs and the requirements of the customer communities. So you may have seen other faces around, and if you haven't, we have to work on that to make sure that everybody knows where everybody is and that we'll be able to service you guys better. Part of the other change that we went through is we formed a new team within ICS that's headed up by Brian Arsenault. Who I'll turn this over to in a second, because I see you guys had a pretty big agenda and ICS doesn't want to suck it all up, so just trying to be brief and informative, just to let you guys know that there is a change. You'll see some familiar faces, and just not to be too shocked when you see someone stranger show up at your desk if you have an issue with your computer. Anyways, I'll turn this over to Brian. He can talk about the new team that was formed in ICS, which Brian is heading up, and what they do.
Thank you, Okay, hi everybody. Brian Arsenault. I'm the manager of end user computing standards within ICS. Not a whole lot to add to what Gary said. It's pretty clear sort of the role or the changes that are being made with regards to the quadrants. Some of the things that Gary's team is not going to be doing are a little bit more of the development type things that we do for desktop support. So building images and building packages of software, figuring out how to distribute software, those types of things. Maybe also security configurations and things like that. So my team's going to be working more on the development of solutions. Gary's team's going to work more on the operational side, deploying them and whatnot. So I guess the big impact there for the libraries is a public image, because it's a big portion of the public computers on campus. And so we're going to be the people working on those images. So I know there's been some questions at some point in the past around, you know, what software is installed where and how quickly we can put new software on and who has access to what and how do we prevent access to some people, guest accounts being a great example of that. How do we prevent them from accessing certain software, certain websites, and then students, you know, make sure that they can access everything they need to. So those are things that my team will be working on. Of course, in the interim, as those things transition, we'll be working very closely with the staff that was here previously. So Charles, also the technicians, and you know, as you know, and Gary mentioned, Ante worked here for years, so he has a very good understanding of the business. Of course, it's changed since he was here, but you know, it hasn't changed that much. At any rate, we're sort of the contact for that going forward. I guess the protocols and procedures for how to engage our team have not quite been figured out yet. We're working on those now as we transition. But we will have those, and I'll be speaking with Jen directly about that and figuring out how we can handle requests for new software, new images, and how we can, you know, meet your needs quickly and efficiently. So I don't know if this is the right venue for questions or if it's really just sort of introduction, but if you guys had any questions for myself, Gary, or Marc-André, we'd be happy to take questions. Or at least I would. I don't know about that. So, question?
Yes. About the nine-person team in the Southwest Quadrant, yes. Which is where Humanities and Social Sciences Library is, will your team be located in both Redpath and the management building?
They could be in Madden, they could be in Rothman, they could be in facilities in 1010 Sherwood, they could be in Martin House on Hill Street, because they could be here. The issue with having spread out so many people.
I was going to just repeat, but I think it's easier if you just get the mic. Sorry.
They're going to be stationed in four locations. That's the short-term solution. Long-term, we're working on how to make that more efficient. Having one supervisor supervising staff in four locations is a challenge. He's going to probably lose some weight. Maybe I should be doing that job. The short-term solution is there will still be people here, whether it be one or two. We don't know that yet, but there will be a presence of some kind here for the short term.
We'll keep working on that.
Yeah.
So are there other questions? Anything? Okay. So I'll hand this off to... I'm going to have to apologize now. I have to leave. I have another meeting. But if there's any questions, just you can funnel them through Jen probably to get them to me about images or anything else.
Okay. Yes, we do know where you are, and there are bound to be further questions as this works out. But I want to thank you very much for coming. I appreciate it. We have 55 people listening from all around in the libraries, too. So we got a lot of word directly out to a lot of people. That's important.
Thanks
so
for
thank you.
The opportunity to come and explain the changes.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Nikki Santre.
My first time with the mic. Okay. It's going to be a really short update. Just to say that it's me and Maggie Allen and Naz Tarabi who are going to be the library reps for SunTrade this year. So if you have any questions throughout the campaign about any of the events, or anything like that, you can contact any one of us. And our first meeting is on Monday, so I don't really have a lot of information about any events, planned events, but there is a kickoff event that I was going to tell you about. Does anyone know about that kickoff event? It's September 29th, and it's, I guess every year they do a big march to get people excited about the campaign, and they unveil the target or what they're trying to raise. So there's going to be at 10:30 a meeting in the open air pub area where I think where they have like keg parties, but it's not going to be a keg party. But there will be free ice cream and live music and just sort of a lot of excitement around things before a big march that's at 1, which is going through all downtown Montreal called the March of 1,000 Umbrellas. And it's just, how many people did it last year? Let me see. I can't remember, but basically the assembly and the rally is at 10:30, and then there's the announcement of the goal, and then the march is at 12, and there's an unveiling of the citywide campaign goal at Place des Festivals, and then it's the end of the events at 1:15. They're also looking for volunteers, I think, if anyone's interested in volunteering. I can't do it that day. I know Naz is doing it. You can email me if you want to volunteer. I think it's like scooping ice cream and doing other things at the rally, so maybe I can put you in contact with Brett if you're interested in that, but that's September 29th. And then we'll be in touch after our first meeting to let you know about any events. Do you have any questions? If I have answers, I can answer them. No? Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to just do a quick follow-up in terms of Centraide. The principal reached out to all of the administrators on campus and asked us if we could particularly become involved in Centraide this year. And so there was an invitation sent out to, I guess, all of us, the library branch heads, to ask if you would be willing to march and participate in that, and I really encourage people to do it. I can tell you, principal also suggested that we tell you our own feelings about Centraide, and I can tell you that it's my major charity. It's the similar thing to that. The United Way in Texas was my major charity too. I really like to give money locally. I think that people locally know a lot about what's really needed. So I just encourage people to think about what's appropriate for them. It may not be appropriate for everybody, because I know that we all give in our own ways, but it's a very important charity to a whole lot of people here where we live. And so I'm going to turn it over to Diane. Okay. Now for the fun part.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah.
I can just get the clicker. It's all set. Yeah, thank you. Good. Great. Yes, well, I'm really pleased that I can give you a taste of the rollout of the master plan that's coming very soon. So, you've all been aware, the plan has been underway since about January 2014. Since 2014, when we went to tender to hire an architect to help us develop a plan. Since then, a lot of work has been done. We're delighted that we're going to roll out the plan on Thursday, October 15th. So please do mark your calendars. We're going to have the full agenda of the rollout day announced in the upcoming week, so the schedule will follow. I expect we will, when we have our forum in which we outline the plan, it will be streamed. But do mark your calendar, and the work really represents the fruits of many people's labor, including your input at the various focus groups we did, the town halls, the peer analysis, extensive data gathering. We received input from the web, and we had the expertise of the various committees that worked with us, the communication committee, our steering committee, and the project team, which consisted of two really remarkable architectural teams from Shepley Bullfinch and EKM here in Montreal, as well as senior representatives from planning and facilities. So, on the 15th, the plan will be outlined in detail. First, there will really be three products that you'll be able to examine in detail and use in the upcoming months and years. First, the master plan itself is a very hefty document, which will be available on the web and in print. And It's all the supporting documentation behind the plan. So it explains the locations that we considered. It explains the storage options that we considered, and really delves into the rationale for the plan. So that's the real meat and potatoes of the plan is in the master plan document. We've also developed a promotional document, and it is it's really designed to reach the widest possible audience. So it's succinct, it's colorful, but it has we believe succinct but inspirational information for us to use, both to communicate with the outside world and most importantly to help us in our fundraising efforts, because that, while fundraising has always been underway, it really begins in earnest with the launch. And it will be used extensively in our fundraising. To assist us in that, there will be a 3-minute video. And I look forward to your response to the video, but I think it's wonderful. It has Colleen is in it, a student is in it, a faculty member is in it, and it really illustrates what we're trying to accomplish. So the video will be, I think, an important plank in our communication strategy. All of this material will be on the website when we launch on the 15th. All right. So, updating the website will be key. So, you're probably wondering, what is this picture here? And why did we call it Fiat Lux, Let There Be Light? It turns out that our architects found architectural drawings which clearly show that on the Red Path, the 19th century, 1890s Red Path Hall, this motto was inscribed in the lintel over the doorway. So we think it's absolutely perfect to, as the title for our plan, Fiat Lux, Let There Be Light. It helps illustrate how knowledge illuminates, and in a light-filled new facility, how wonderful will that be to facilitate that knowledge building. So that's the title. The sort of the goals or the premises behind the project, I'll let you read at a very high level: physical and virtual spaces that inspire, integrating digital teaching and learning. As you read that, let me just give you a quote from Colleen's introductory letter to our promotional document. She writes, "This proposed vision strives to exceed the highest international standards, creating a building complex that will unite all faculties, firmly entrench the library, and establish McGill as a guiding light throughout the 21st century." So, wonderful aspirational thoughts, and I think what you'll see as we show you a diagram of the revitalized McLennan Red Path complex, and a few images that I believe will inspire you, you'll see the approach we're taking with the master plan. First of all, let me state that the branches that are in place now continue to be in place. What the focus of the plan is to revitalize the McLennan Red Path complex. So, and really, in order to do that, it's critical not only to revitalize the complex, but to provide space for our remarkable print collection and provide storage for that collection that makes it accessible to our students and our faculty within minutes. So the key to freeing up, you can see we have McLennan Library anchoring one end of the complex, the beautiful Red Path Hall anchoring the north end, a rebuilt 1950s to 70s Red Path Library building, and the bulk of our collection in an underground high-density automatic retrieval system. The beauty of this is our unique collection, which is unique in Quebec, in Canada, and very important to North America and the collective collection. It's accessible with a browsable collection remaining in McLennan, so that the core materials that our faculty and students need immediate access to, browsable access to, they will be able to access here in the McLennan Library. So this just illustrates the storage under the green. You can see the terrace remains. We have a light-filled, remarkable new Redpath Library building, which will enable us to have an iconic reading room, exhibition space, meeting space, teaching and learning space, and freeing up space across the whole complex for at least 15% of our student body to have a seat in the library. That's the goal we're striving for. It's a goal that our peer institutions all work within a 15 to 25% seating provision. Right now, with the size of our seats, we're meeting about 9% of our students' seating needs. So since libraries are a place where our students work, it's critical we free that up. So that's the outline. This is a view of the complex from McTavish Street. So you can see that Redpath Hall has been unwrapped, which is marvelous. It's been covered for decades, and now it's opened up the hub construction here connecting New Redpath to McLennan, light-filled, accessible, with a reading room at the top, and a view from the green, which gives the sort of the size and scope. New Redpath, the exhibition space, the unwrapped Redpath, and just a very exciting facility, which you'll be able to delve into on the 15th. Any questions? More to come. Mark your calendars. Good. Anything to add, Colleen? Oh, a question.
Well, it's sort of a question, but in the first slide.
Yes. This one or the picture?
You see red lines going up. Is that a staircase?
That's a staircase. Yes. Yes. Step form. You'll see a lot of that infrastructure in new education buildings. You can use it to move from A to B, but also for presentations and lectures, and it's a very interesting, flexible kind of environment. But yes, it's the McGill Red, so we had to put that in. Good. Colleen, anything to add?
Just invite people if there are any.
Yes, questions from afar. While you're thinking them up, I'll just show you a couple of images. Again, thank you to the SSMU Library Improvement Fund. Our men's washroom, the women's washroom, and the universal washroom is now open on Redpath, and the response has been fabulous. We've also launched the new McLennan e-classroom. I noticed that Tatiana was teaching in there this morning, so we're tweaking the sound system when it comes in. As you teach in the space, if you have any recommendations on how to improve it, please let us know. But it's ready for prime time. So you can see it's in that corner of McLennan main floor where the newspapers used to be. So I think people like it. The ceilings are high, there's lots of light, and students can use it when you're not teaching in it. Oops, I'm sorry. What did I do? The map collection has been integrated onto the second floor of McLennan. So all of our maps from the former Burnside facility are now on the floor, and in the more valuable maps are in the locked map room. So they're all in one place, and we encourage usage. And finally, the math collection has been relocated, freeing up the space in Burnside that has been requested by the Mathematics and Statistics Department. So you can see where the collection is located, Rare, Schulich, and Serials, and I believe the catalog is now all up to date. But if you have any questions about any of those, please let me know. And last but certainly not least, the visual arts collection, of which Wendy Owens, who is here, is the director of our visual arts collection and the newest member of the library and archives community. The collection is integrated into a rare books and special collections storage area, and Wendy and her team are here in the McLennan Library Building. Welcome. Great. Good. Now, give you all of this. Good.
Oh, I don't. Do I have a slide?
Sure.
Oh.
Just to be aspirational.
Okay. That's not the Research Commons, by the way. We're moving along. Last Dean's Corner, you will remember that Amber and I gave a bit of a overview of the strategic intention to develop to conceive of what a Research Commons could be here at McGill. And luckily, we have some funds to start that initiative on a small scale. So we're starting with two spaces, both here in the McLennan Redpath complex, one of which is in the old e-classroom, where it moved from Redpath 23. And in there is going to be a meeting and presentation space with a large, not quite that large, video wall that can be used for looking at things up very, very, very close. It's got great resolution, so you can zoom in and see things up really close, like rare books or anything that you can conceive of that you'd want to get into tiny, tiny detail on. It also can be used, because it's large, to look at big data sets. It's going to be connected to a very powerful computer, so you'll be able to run large data sets on it. And also, it's multiple screens, so you can also project different bits and pieces of things at the same time. So it's pretty cool. So the furniture, chairs, and tables that are going to be in that room are actually there already, so that's the first step. The computer is up here sitting with Charles's team, and we're expecting the other technology to be delivered to our local supplier first week of October. So fingers crossed it will get here sometime around then, and we'll get it installed. We also have a virtual reality headset, which is really cool. Mike Gronendijk has it if anybody wants to try it out. It's quite neat. That will be in there too. There's actually quite a few faculty on campus who are doing experiments that involve these virtual reality headsets, so we've got a lot of interest in using that as well. The second space is going to be outside of the Writing Center, so it's sort of the other side of the pillars there in Redpath. And that's going to be a small group meeting, training space, and that's where we're going to have our 3D printers. We have two of them on site already, and a 3D scanner, which is also really cool. Mike's also got that, so if you want to see it work. We're expecting the third printer anytime now. So they'll be kind of in the corner there. I don't know and many of you probably haven't seen that space, but it's got a little corner off to the side, and that's where the 3D printing zone is going to be. And then also we're going to have some really nice booth seating in there that we're going to make bookable. So we're hoping that it'll get used for various small project discussion research teams. Also, there's the Dobson Center is really interested in having their teams meet with potential industry partners there. So as Colleen mentioned earlier, there's a lot of excitement across campus. All the people we've talked to have been really, really interested in what we're doing. So the seating there is supposed to come in at the end of, so probably next week. And we'll get that installed. Look for updates on the blog. So there's a Research Commons intranet space, and I've been trying to give updates whenever I have them about how things are going. So we're looking, hoping, thinking, crossing our fingers about a launch end of October, beginning of November. So I am talking to a lot of people on campus and trying to scare up some events to happen right away that are a little bit flexible when they can happen. It's going to be really exciting. I also hope that the space where the 3D printers are and the booths will be a place where we can have experts do office hours, and that includes lots of people that are in this room and at a distance here. So if you have ideas about office hours that you would like to have in the Research Commons that would be for services that would be helpful to researchers, please let me know, and I'd like to get that going. Some people have reached out to me already, and I think it's going to be really interesting, so stay tuned. Sorry, is there another slide? No, there isn't.
No,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, just questions.
Oh, questions, sorry.
Let me say thank you to Sarah. This is your planning exercise in action. These are initiatives such as the Research Commons, which really did bubble up from the planning exercise that we did. And I think it's important, this is just a little advertisement again for the importance of that planning exercise for the library organization as a whole, and that real things come out of it. It's not stuff that we just think of doing and then we don't do. It's real for us. And so I'm going to do a little bit of a human resources update. But before that, I'm going to mention something that I forgot to mention in my remarks. And just that there's a we're doing many digitization projects. And one that we recently finished doing with through endowment funds, it was largely supported through endowment funds, is the digitization of all the student newspapers. From campus, French, English, all sorts of crazy ones. And we are launching the fact that we have these wonderful resources at our disposal with a trivia night. A lot of the trivia questions will be based on things from the student newspapers on September the 21st in the ballroom of the faculty club at 5 to 7. So if you want to form your own little team or just show up and sit down at a table, that would be great. I can promise you that Danielle Boyer, as an ex-editor of the newspaper, will probably have a little bit of an edge in a certain time period because he probably remembers that stuff. And anyway, it's a really, really a pretty cool thing, and I'd like to thank Lori for organizing a whole lot of this, and our wonderful digitization team that managed to put it all together. I assume that you'll help me with the resources things. Okay, so welcome to Jane Verpe, Coordinator of Data Curation and Scholarly Communications Digita Initiatives, and Alexandra Cohn, Head of Copyright Office. If you two could stand up, I'd really appreciate it. And Jen would normally be introducing them, but since she's not here, I get to. She's sick and we sent her home. We didn't, for her sake and ours. Okay. And I'd also like to introduce Berenica Vejvoda, Data Reference Services Librarian, User Services. Back here. Hello. Welcome. And Lauren Goldman and Michael Moore, who are doing, Michael's out someplace, probably one of the 66 people who's watching from a distance.
He's in class.
Yeah, he's in class, okay. But I hope that you notice we're trying very hard to get a lot of our communications things out sooner in a more timely fashion. And again, this is This is things not only from the planning exercise, but some of our climate qual initiatives, where we're trying to take actions on some things that you all told us we needed to do better. So more of that will be coming, particularly with climate qual things, so you'll be hearing more about that. So let's see, okay, farewells. Well, no, I'll do that in a minute. Okay. Farewells to Juanita, Julie Jones, Maya, and Jillian. None of them are here, but we can wave to them. I don't like people to leave, but people have lives. So. Human Resources, sabbaticals. Daniel Boyer will be gone for roughly a year. Chris Lyons came back, and then he left again. So he's off for the second half of his sabbatical, and Danielle will be gone for a year. Recruitments, these are active recruitments for McDonald campus or non-tenure track for 2 years, and scholarly communications librarian digital initiatives tenure track. I can also announce that the first week of October, we will be welcoming Marcella His sister and Emily Kingland into humanities and the humanities library and social sciences library, and this was from the big recruitment that we did during the summer. Okay, so questions about anything? Yes, or I thought, okay, anything from a distance? This has to be the only Dean's cabinet that we actually had in 45 minutes. Anything? Yeah.
Just make a comment that our colleague Wendy Owens is going to be giving a talk
on
McGill's art collection on September 30th, and the title is Bears, Light Bulbs, and
Landscapes, Light Bulbs, and Bears. Bears spelled B-A-R-E-S. Who knew McGill had an art collection?
Oh.
So Wendy's going to be giving an illustrated talk here on September the 30th at 5:30 p.m.
Right, in this room.
In this room.
I'll send that.
We would ask people who would like to join that they just RSVP because of the limited space.
I look forward to having a room like this that we could have without having to go through the staff. What a thought.
We have a plan.
Yes, we have a plan. We have a plan, but I have to admit, something is a whole lot better than nothing, so don't believe that I'm ungrateful for the great work that people did to get this room put together several years ago. And one last piece of trivia I'd like everyone to wish Mark Richard happy birthday when you leave. It's his birthday today. Yeah, it's how I remember his birthday. Yeah, Michael DeGrappa, apparently September is a big month. Anyway, so anybody have anything else? Nothing from afar? Now we have a lot of people in here tuning in from a distance today. I think it was probably Diane's thing and not me. That was of the great interest. So we really are really excited about some of the things that have come out of the feasibility study. We have worked very, very hard to come up with wording that was appropriate to this endeavor, and we call it prudent but ambitious. It seems like an awful lot of money, and it is. I mean, there's no way that you can look at it differently. You're talking millions of dollars that need to go into this program, this building program. But we have thought of everything that we absolutely can do and every alternative that we could possibly come up with. And this is the most, this is the wisest way to use very scarce resources to come up with lots of answers to needs. Not all the answers to all the needs, but the most numbers, the putting our money to really good use. So thank you. So with that, thank you all, and welcome to the semester at the beginning of the year. Thanks.